Camp is nearly at an end. Tomorrow is the last day of camp. And we ask in these last meetings that we will not miss the opportunity to hear thy voice, to respond to thy voice, and to allow thee to change us. Lord, we're going to leave camp and the opportunity will be gone. Have mercy upon us. Help us to open our ears so that we may hear that which thou hast for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Alright, tonight we're going to talk about a very little door. And every one of us possesses this door. And we pop things into it, but it's vital what comes out of the door. Vitally important to God. What door are we dealing with today? The mouth, that's correct. And what does God say about the mouth, the tongue, God calls it? James 3, verse 1 to 18 says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, so that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, and yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so is a tongue a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, a greater matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It's either sea water or river water. Who is the wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, a behavior, his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now we're startled by what God says about the son as a tongue. He says this door, our mouth, our tongue, the thing that speaks about us, can cause havoc. Now the first thing God compares the tongue to is and the effect of the tongue is a ship. And he says the ship is turned by such a small helm in the sea. And he said our tongue is like that helm or that rudder that lets the ship go into the direction. Now, I want you to imagine there's a ship in the middle of the ocean. And the wind is up and the clouds are lowering. And as the seamen in the ship are running about on the ship, they don't speak to each other. They tense. They can just sense the lowering of the clouds, the impending storm, and they're full of fear. They speak in a low voice when they do have to speak. They brave sailors. They have a compass. They know that they have to sail north, and if the rudder holds steady, they know they'll get to their destination. But there's fear. There's uneasiness. And suddenly the ship just lurches wildly, and the ship, whole ship sort of turns around in the water, and it starts going like this, and it's suddenly the ship is at the mercy of the wind. And the steerman comes running up and he said, "Where's the captain of the ship?" The ship isn't responding to the rudder anymore. And suddenly there's horror and fear, because those sailors know that they're at the mercy of the wind. And where will it land them? Will they land on the rocks? Now, you know, it reminds me of some people I knew in my childhood. It was so scary when you could just sense, you know, suddenly the atmosphere used to change and everything became tense. And you thought, oh, and you sort of walk through the room where they are on tiptoe, because you just know there's a storm brewing, and if the storm comes, they are just going to explode. There's tension in the air. It's scared. And why are they like that? Because the helm, the rudder, is not under the control of the captain. The rudder is the mechanism of the ship. To keep the ship on course, the captain of the ship, the steersman, has to be in charge of the rudder. And the rudder has to be intact. Now the question we're going to ask tonight is my rudder, my tongue, what I say, is it under the control of the captain? Or do I cause havoc in lives around me because I am not submissive with my tongue to the captain? Do I shame his name? Do people around me sort of start moving away from me because they're just so scared of what I will say? Do I say biting, cruel things? I'm cheeky. I boast. I gossip. My rudder is not totally yielded to the captain. Now, for 75 years, no one knew why the ship, the William D. Havoc, had gone down. It was called the most disastrous day in the lake shipping industry in Michigan. 32 crewmen went down with the ship. You know, when your tongue is out of control, it doesn't only affect you. It influences people around you. It affects the unsaved. It even affects your younger brothers and sisters, your parents, even the so-called Christians. It makes them lose courage. Well, there was a terrible storm. The wind was 80 miles an hour. There were 30 feet waves. It was the 11th of November, 1940. But smaller ships had survived the storm. Why did the William D. Havoc go down and land on the rock with coal lying at the bottom of the ocean? Upside down. 32 years later, the Michigan Shipwreck Research Association dived in that area, and 210 feet under the sea, they found the ship upside down. And when they investigated, they found that the rudder, the helm, was broken. It had a snapped propeller, but the helm was broken. How could that ship have stayed upright with a broken rudder? How can we be a witness and a testimony for the Lord Jesus if our tongue is not under his control? Perhaps your ship has landed, your life has landed on the rocks of anger and bad feeling. Your testimony is in shreds. You have many enemies. Why? Because the connection is not there anymore. The captain, our heavenly captain, is not firmly and wisely steering you in what you say, how you speak. Maybe you say, "Well, you know, I'm exception to the rule. I really have to steer my ship in very stormy seas. My parents hate God. They don't understand me. Other people are unkind to me. My friends have deserted me." All the more why your ship should be under the control of the captain, and where he should help you to only say those things that glorify him, so that you steer safely in the stormy water. "Dear Lord, the storms have been so rough. Turmoil has upset me. I lost control, just like a ship that's reeling awkwardly. Out of control, I almost swore. Anger driving my course. Thus we were heading for the rocks. The rudder had no force. It was no longer in thy hands, not under thy control. No chance to keep on course at all or keep my witness whole. Around me spluttered drowning souls, and I the cause that they may be condemned, for I refuse to let thee have full sway. Oh, make my answers soft and meek, and under thy control, because I long that by my speech I'll reach out to each soul. Now, the tongue is also compared to a runaway horse. 15th of August 2013, not so long ago, Anthony Bond reported that there was chaos in Cheadleham, which is near Stockport in England. A horse and a cart in tow raced wildly down the street, and it was unable, it was just disorderly. They couldn't control it, and they saw somebody running after the horse, trying to catch the horse. Remember, the horse had a cart. When we say horrible things, and when we say bad things, and when we are cheeky, and when we are unresponsive to our parents, there's always a cart of consequences that is swaying left and right behind us. And we suffer, and just as this horse suffered. So the man was running after him. And you know, the man running after him to try and stop the horse reminds me of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't the Holy Spirit remind us when we say wrong things? Don't. Stop before it gets much worse. You're going to hurt. You're going to stop. Don't be cheeky to your parents. But we don't want to listen, do we? Well, this horse didn't want to listen. Five cars were smashed in a row. A woman putting out a bin was nearly killed. And she jumped out of the way. And there were thousands and thousands of pounds of damage in that little town. Now, it reminds me of, there were two people sitting in a dining room in a house in South Africa. And one of those people found it very difficult to control his tongue. So two people came to me and said, Jenny, whatever you do, just sit at the dining room table. Don't leave the dining room table while these two are sitting. Because if you don't sit there and just calm the troubled waters, there's going to be an explosion. Something's going to happen. So I sat there, and I when this happens, I usually talk the hind leg of a donkey. So I just... But then... somebody called me to the telephone, and I had to leave those two at the table. So I left the table, and I wasn't concentrated with the person. I said, listen, I can't explain, but I have to get back. Yes, no, fine, you know. And I put the phone down, and when I got back, guess what had happened? Both of them were bawling. Both of them were in tears. So in 5 minutes, one of those tongues had caused havoc at the dining room. It is a tongue that isn't under the control of the captain. That is what your tongue can do. We can say cruel words. Use your brain. Why don't you use your brain? Or have you got a brain? There's no hope for you. Why are you so fat? Why don't you exercise? Oh, I'm not inclined to listen to you. You're so boring. You know. What a frumpish dress. I mean, you know, get with it. People are very sensitive. You'll be surprised how easily they get hurt. Now, there was a lady, she always knew all the things that went on in town. She didn't really gossip, but somebody I knew got into the room and said, oh, I'm so glad you're here. Now we'll hear all the village news. And of course, the lady just burst into tears. She didn't mean to hurt her, but she was hurt. And it caused a flood of tears. We must be careful what we say. Our tongue must be under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. Little children lose courage if we compare them or belittle them. Or, why aren't you like that person? What's the problem with you? You know, it's so easy to do that. And even the unsaved may be totally put against God. If our tongue is like a runaway horse that is not responding to the bit in its mouth. Harriet Arkwell reported also a rider from the horse at Dunstan Castle Country Fair near Minehead, Somerset in England. The horse was so uncontrolled that it actually flew through the air and landed on the bonnet of a car and caused havoc in the town. You know, just as that horse flew and landed, so we will land in a mess if we are not sensitive to God's prompting. You know, the Holy Spirit is so faithful. I haven't always listened to his prompting. Sometimes I'm sorry I have said some of the things I have said. I don't know, I'm sure you felt the same sometimes. He's in a still, quiet way in our heart. He says, no, don't say that. That's not necessary to say. Sometimes we know we mustn't speak. If we speak, we will end up in an argument. It's difficult to be silent, even if we think we know far more than another person. But God says silence, speech is silver, silence, gold. Right? Many times God wants us to be quiet and let the other person talk and then leave it in God's hands. God wants us rather not to speak and to be the big deal if he would reach out to the soul. God tugs at the bit in our mouth. Now, when he tugs first and we say, well, I'm going to say the wrong thing, it's a little tug. The Holy Spirit says, don't. But we don't want to listen and we do our head and say, no, I just want to prove to you that this is how it is, you know. And then what does the Holy Spirit do? He gives a, he tries it. And then, you know, we don't want to listen and we just get, and it's just worse and worse and worse as we hurt others with our words. It gets painful and we get hurt. Eventually, we haven't got any friends. We wonder, well, why isn't anybody friendly with me? Why don't they like me? Why do they avoid me? Is it perhaps because the tongue is not submissive to the Lord Jesus and I am unkind and horrible and rude in the things I say? The horse was wild. It would not yield to the tug on the bit. People were frightened by its pace as it raced, reared and spit. The rider took a firmer grip. The bit was pulled right back. But the horse would not listen, though the grip far from slack. Chaos and hurt on every hand. People drifted away. How can they linger near a horse or whom the bit no sway? Am I to like that rampant horse, resisting all control? Or will my tongue submit to God with all my heart? Heart and soul. Now the tongue is again compared to something else. It's compared to a runaway fire. Who has not heard of a runaway fire? Is there anybody here that hasn't heard of a runaway fire? It's a fire that is beyond control. When the fire engine sounds, you find everybody's interested. What's going on? Where's the fire? I hope nobody's life is in danger, because so often there are deaths when there are fires. And God compares the damage that the tongue does to the damage of a fire. What does a fire do? It burns up everything in its wake. Now, I remember when I was at Bible college, there was a fire close to us and we all ran. We wanted to help to carry things out of the house. But what really shocked us was at the end of the fire, there was this black building. No roof. The windows were burnt out of this wall. Just this black shell. That was all that was left. And you know, it is so sad that when our tongue, like a fire, has caused havoc in other people's lives, all that's left is a shell. As the people that are left in its wake are just like shells. They've lost hope. They've lost courage. They crumpled. They belittled. They are so smashed by our cruel words. Careless statements, careless. We don't think about what the consequences, and it's caused scars and it's crippled people. Only a shell left. All the beautiful dreams, the innocent dreams that you laughed at, you squashed them, you trampled them underfoot, and now there's just a husk left. Shattered dreams, shattered hopes, and it will be so difficult for those people to get up again. You broke down their confidence. The tongue is a fire of iniquity. It's a world of iniquity. Why don't we acknowledge it and say, God, my tongue has not been yielded to thee. I confess it to me. I am so ashamed of the havoc that my tongue has caused. I yield it to thee. I want thee to be in control of it. I want thee to put water on the cruel flames and stop further damage, that it doesn't leap from person to person. The fire leapt, it jumped, it sped, it seemed upon the run. How difficult to stop it, though it had but begun. The maimed, the hurt, the scorched, the marred, stood back, shrunken with fear. They felt the heat of its cruel tongue. They dared not linger near. Is that a picture of your tongue, your speech, the things you say? If you look back, how did your tongue behave throughout today? God wants to put that fire out and help you to become a source of help and healing to wipe out what it's done. Now, another description of the tongue in James is it's a world of iniquity and evil. God says, on the one side, we bless God, and the other side, we curse God. He said, how can that be? How can both things come out of the same tongue? You can't have, it's like having two faces. Now, I bought a doll in America, and this was a very strange doll. This doll had no legs, but the doll had two faces. And when you held the doll up, the dress fell over the other face, and so it looked as if she just had a very long dress on. And the one face of the doll was beautiful. Absolutely, just an absolutely beautiful, smiling, sweet, rosy face. But when you turned the doll around and the dress fell over the smiley face, there was the most horrible, can't do the look, but it was a terrible look on that doll. She was so ugly, she was scowling. She was a two-faced doll. It sounds like that fountain, eh? Sweet water and bitter. One doesn't know what to expect from you. The one day you growl, the other day you smile. You two things at the same time. You never know which side of the doll is up. Are you going to be smiling or scowling, all wrong? The fountain is wrong. It's a fig tree that has olives. It's not proper. I speak as a Christian the one day, but the next day the things I talk about are not Christian. The music I speak about, the films I speak about, the whispers, the way I treat the Word of God, flippantly talking about, this is a portion of Scripture, whatever, just flippant. It doesn't belong to a Christian. We need to treat God with respect, treat His Word with respect, and the water out of this fountain should be sweet. Envy pops out of our mouth. It's unfair what another has. We covet what others have. We say, God is not right. It was not fair. This little person is his little apple of his eye, and where am I? I'm always left out. God's not kind. Why did she have such a nice home circumstances? And look at what I've got. But you know what? We've got to trust God, and our mouth must reflect our trust and acceptance of God. Bitterness, a sad expression from God's thing. Bitterness spreads. It's terrible. It's like leaven. If somebody's bitter, you'll be surprised how that bitterness spreads like a fire from one person to the next person. We say God's dealings are not fair. Strife. There's people who, wherever they are, there's going to be an argument. We've had them in our country. I mean, wherever they are. If you say something, they dispute it. If you mention something, they know something better about it, but they don't only just mention that they have got far better knowledge or far greater knowledge, but they say it in an aggressive way. Their tongue is aggressive. They disturb a group, and everybody's uncomfortable in their presence because of their tongue. Dear Lord, I must confess my tongue seems only there to hurt. I'm quick to say a cutting thing. Anger from it doth spurt. People seem rather scared of me. I thought that to be fine. I like to be the one in charge, keep other folks in line. But I had failed to draw people to seek and follow thee, because my tongue pushed them away and did not honor thee. What should come out of the tongue? The Bible does not only tell us what shouldn't come out of the tongue, but it also tells us what should come out of the tongue. It says the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Does that sound somebody is going to cause strife? No. Full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And then it almost describes us as peacemakers. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We should be kind. We should be gentle. We should be peaceable. Instead of causing fights, we should stop fights. Instead of talking about immoral things and questionable things, we should talk about pure things. There's so many pure things. My one aunt, great, great aunt said, the best things in the world are free. There's so many lovely things, the sea and everything. There's so many lovely pure things. We don't have to go to the immoral things. We don't take unfair sides. We're not impartial. We are impartial. Because somebody can dress nicely or has lots of jewelry or whatever, we don't put them on a pedestal and treat that little one that hasn't got that in a different way. We're not a hypocrite. We've got an honest, good face. The fruit of righteousness, the things that please God. But how do I get my tongue to really behave in this way? I need help. And the Bible gives us the clue. I need a guard at the door of my tongue. Isn't the Bible wonderful? It gives us the clue. It says, Psalm 141 verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Now, this is very descriptive. I want you to imagine a big fort. A big fort. It's a big castle building. And there are all sorts of people in this building. Some people are very quiet and gentle, and others are easily stirred up, loud and unruly and unkind. And those are like the thoughts which the devil flashes with his arrows into our being. But there's one door to the castle, and in front of that door stands a guard. And sometimes the devil's flashing these angry, jealous, proud, I'm not stupid like that person, and all those thoughts, and these thoughts want to jump out of the building, and I want to say them. But as they come to pop out of my mouth, the guard puts his sword up, and he says, is it kind? Is it necessary? Will it do good? Is it God's will? And you know what happens? When he confronts them, the thoughts escape back into the building and they creep away and they are ashamed. So that is, God can ask us to put a guard in front of our lips that we don't say the wrong things. It's a sentry standing at the door. If I do not have that guard at the door of my lips where I say, is it right? Is it what God would have me to say? I will cause war. I will hurt. I will cause sadness. I will cause despair all around me. Is there a sentry at the door of your lips? With his a guard with his sword drawn? That does not allow anything to escape out of your mouth unless it is acceptable to the king? The sentry is under the king's a command. He obeys the king. And he asks the questions that the king has commanded him to ask. My father said, if you can't say something nice about somebody, then just don't let that escape out of your mouth. Don't say anything at all. Is it kind? Is it what the king wants me to say? There is a guard before my lips that sternly stands upright and blocks the thought that would escape others to harm or blight. The sentry is a stern soldier. You cannot twist his arm. His very honor is at stake to prevent any harm. And thus, I've schooled my lips to say things that he will allow. For in the service of the king, my lips must to him bow. If you ask yourself tonight, are your lips submissive to the sentry that God has placed at the door of your mouth? Amen.